We have a little sound problem. We are missing cables for the sound for this. So I'm going to show it to you because it's film footage that was smuggled out of China. And it's a work done by the Korean friars that I want to just to share with you a little bit of. This is from a production that was done about 5 years ago of each of
Probably David's got to go, so she told him better say goodbye to everybody.
Great, thank you. So Tom is letting me know that David is on his way, and just to really offer him our blessing and our grace and thanks for all that you have done for us and what you've been able to continue to do for us. Know that our prayers and blessings and our place in our hearts are with you, David.
What a blessing to be with you all. Keep up the good work. You believe in vinyl reciprocity, right?
Thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate that. I thought he was... He said he was going right after morning prayer. He was right. He was going right after. Jim, why don't you punch that? So this production was done about 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And unfortunately have to narrate this, I think, with... the sound isn't going to work. Is that right?
And that microphone is for this room.
Isn't that nice? So this is a gathering of the friars that help out in China. The friary, our generalate in Rome, has a China office where we work with the friars that are in China still, and mostly looking at the elderly. They have gathered in Italy, and this is the Shrine of Laverna, where they are doing some pilgrimage. Having a mass for all of those who are participating in this China meeting. And I mainly was looking at this because they're speaking of family, they're speaking of in the work that the friars are doing with the lepers, how the lepers refer to them as their son, or how they are family with each other. And I'm really fascinated by, I'd love to meet the Stephen Min to find out how he went from Korea to China and gathered these friars, gathered the lepers, and how what initiated his work. Something sparked that within him. And it was a simple response, and one that involved his fraternity of friars to help him move in that direction.
Joseph Ha is the person that I give the rosaries to. Okay, those of you who have sent me rosaries, my Franciscan martyrs, many.
So they're heading for the Chapel of the Stigmata, and this is the chapel where it's celebrated that Francis had the stigmata. The other piece is that it's a collaborative effort with other people from outside the leprosarium as well that work with them. And all of them gathered together at the end of this filming for a party, and it's quite an amazing group, just the things that they do. This is a dining room at our generalate, and the guardian there stepping away. This was done by an Italian film crew from Bologna, and they spotted probably about a dozen works of the friars throughout the world, and so they wanted to kind of underscore the element of China here and just what's being done there. They did not do the filming that was smuggled out, however, that will be seen. Snowing at Laverna. Ooh. And this is Jeffrey Haller, who actually is an American who went to live in China and Peking and taught for about 2 years, had about 1,000 students that he was teaching English to as he was studying the Chinese language himself. So this is at the Porciuncula, yes. St. Mary of the Angels, and that's the celebrated area where Francis died, and they'll be stepping through that little chapel area, receiving the rule, copy of the rule from Paul Pang, who heads up our, works with our China office. And this is the San Damiano crucifix, the actual one. And these friars are meeting with the poor Clares at the Proto Monastery in Assisi. So this is the community of Clares that live at Santa Chiara. I am just amazed that the Chinese government has allowed these elements to kind of continue to happen, and just the effectiveness, I'm sure, is the no one is paying any attention to these. This is the film footage now of the leprosarium. And he's speaking about also they're started off with a few and have grown and have actually kind of started an adult leprosarium and a young person's leprosarium as well. This is Stephen Min.
He's Korean?
And he's Korean. Michelle,
yeah.
Do you know him by chance?
Yeah.
Have you?
I know Abba.
Mm-hmm. And Richard Trutze has a friar in his province, Francis Kim, whom many of us know, has gone into China many, many, many times, and I think he is now kept from entering China. And he would go to just north of the border of North Korea into China, and during the wintertime when they could cross the ice looking for good, he would just help out whoever he would run into and be able to send them back to, with some substance with, for their family.
We complain we don't have wheelchair rooms.
So again, he's speaking about how they refer to him as their son. This is the party that they are obviously celebrating, probably somebody, a couple of folks' birthdays.
Is it a birthday? Is that what it is?
I think so.
Wow, so nice.
Looks like these all have crowns on. And he's speaking in Italian, that's being translated now as well.
It looked like he was describing the pizza he had last night, but it was, but it was beautiful what he said.
So the importance, I think, here, what I was trying to offer you is the fact that whatever we see to be able to serve the poor is going to help us along our way of conversion. Whatever way that we can do it, I was just reading online about that there's a book, 212 degrees or 211 degrees. Well, 1 degree more, 212 is boiling. So it's like just 1 degree sort of thing is what this book I was looking at online speaks of. And it's, we can bring that 1 degree for action to happen. When things start boiling, you have steam, and steam can move a locomotive, is what this little advertisement said online today. And for us, we can be the creation of adding that one piece there. And it's not only for ourselves, again, it's for what we can bring back to our fraternity in terms of that sharing, that possibility of seeing God within the context of the poor. I'm not going to have them play the Kazakhstan piece, but I'll just give you a little snippet out of it. One of our friars just returned from there, and he was featured and that. He had been there 6 years, started a parish, just went back last month for the dedication of the church that he had built and has now returned to the States. But one of the beautiful things he says that, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know sometimes what I'm supposed to say. And not knowing the language, I don't even know if I could say it if I knew what it was in my heart that I wanted to say. But he said they become real God moments for him. And that's what happens with us, is that these 211 to 212 can really be God moments where God is providing that extra degree within our hearts to stir us and to move us. One of the things I wanted to share with you, we talked a little bit about the Francis's letter to the entire order, and this really came, according to Bill Short, after Francis had considered whether he possibly might remove himself from the order. He had resigned. He had kind of recessed away from fraternity life. He was sick. He was in lots of pain and difficulty. And this wonderful moment of God came to him saying, "Oh, you little man, who do you think founded this order? Who do you think is going to sustain this order?" And Francis just had this opening where he came back to the brothers with that magnificent letter and being able to kind of turn it all over to God. It was his moment of sine proprio, where at the end of his life, he was being able to kind of put it in God's hands. And that's what each one of us is called to do, even when the times are tough. I wanted to share another story with you, if I could, before I wind up.
No, please. A couple of stories.
You've heard of the quest for friars, the begging tours, and for Americans, it's kind of like, that's Greek to me. And I had the wonderful privilege while I was in Italy, I would go up to the Capuchin Mission in Tuscany for my retreat. I had started from going there from the Assisi experience. At the end of this Assisi experience, they would give you car fare, bus fare, train fare to get to a hermitage, and you would spend your last few days at that hermitage and then come back and talk about that experience. Well, I fell in love with Le Chaly, and I'd go up there 2 or 3 times a year during the 6 years that I was there. And I got to be very good friends with this Fra Luigi. And Fra Luigi, I always wanted to get a Western hat and put it on him because he was the Italian answer to Gabby Hayes.
good, wiry, fiery guy. Just had lots of spark about him.
We became very good friends. And he a number of times said to me, would you mind if I visit you in Roma? He said, I'm just looking for a little place under a stairway to stay. I said, Luigi, come. He wanted to meet the general and spend time with the general. He had actually started off in the Friars Minor. And while he was in the Bishop Laverna, grew his beard. And they said, well, you can't do that. We're Friar Minor. We don't grow beards. And he said, Francis had one. And he went to the Capuchin. Our big loss, I'll tell you. I think the general was just reelected and they gave him a new car and he was going away for a few weeks and I was going to go take my usual time up at Lake Chele. It's a place where the friary is on one part of the canyon in their church and the other side is their orto, their garden, and on this side is where Francis's cell had been also, and right down the middle is a waterfall.
Wow. Gosh.
The first time that I stayed there, living in Italy, I woke up in the morning and everything was covered in snow. It was really spectacular. This one time I'm going up to spend time there and I asked the general, I said, would you mind if I just borrow the car? I'm going to go park it there, do my retreat, and then go spend some days with some friends near Assisi and then be home. And he said, oh, sure, no problem at all. It's a brand new car. Go up and I park it at Lake Chele. Go in and just think I'm going to be here for the remainder of those days that I'll be there. Well, Luigi, when he would come down to see me in Rome, he would walk about 150 miles to Rome and back. And this is a man who was probably easily in his 80s.
Gosh.
And people would stop and say, oh, you know, let me offer you. Oh, no, I'm walking. You know, oh, I insist. You know, so he'd get in the car and he'd drive with them and visit. And, oh, this is as far as I'm going. Oh, thank you very much. And he'd say goodbye, God bless you, and see them off. He'd hitchhike back to where he was picked up and continue. So Luigi, who never wanted to ride in a car, when I arrived, said, would you take me around tomorrow morning? And I said, oh, Luigi, I'd be happy to. God, what a privilege. So we start off early morning and driving all on dirt roads the whole day. Mm. And he goes up to this house and the door was open. The sun was shining, warmly pouring into the house. He kisses the door, the step, thank you, and goes to a sacred object in the house and wishes the house peace. And they're all excited to see him. The wife was in brushing the daughter's hair in the sunlight. It was a real suburban or rural moment for me in Italy. And just, oh, how are you, Fra Luigi? And oh, that's fine. And how's the family? Everyone's fine. And kind of does this nice update, and he would finally say, do you have any extra chestnuts from the forest at all? Oh yeah, he got a plastic bag and put a few in there. And she goes to give it to him, and he says, it's not for me, it's for him. So he hands it to me, and I'm going, what? He said, would you have any extra funghi, any mushrooms? And this is porcini stuff, yes, I'm talking. Yeah. So, another bag of that, and oh, that's for him. I'm standing there with these two bags, and then I realize I've got this brand new car standing out in the driveway, on parked on the road or whatever, and I'm thinking this juxtaposition of me begging and going to put it in this brand new car. And I don't know whether that was Luigi's intention to offer this experience to me, but that was the end-all effect. Friars in Ireland would say the same thing. They have this big 1,500-student of Gormanston College, which is a high school and college that the friars run, and it's for students who stay on campus, who live on campus. And one friar would go down to order the meat from the butcher in Dundalk, and he'd have all these, you know, 100 pounds of this and 100 pounds of that, and give them a big check. Meanwhile, a friar from the other friar is coming in and saying, do you have any extra meat left over? The friar said to me, he says, what
are we doing to people's faith? These juxtapositions sort of thing.
Well, Luigi, what I was thinking was like, what a powerful presence he had with the people. And when Luigi moves on to eternal reward, who's going to be following, making that church contact, that spiritual connection with people? And we all have that opportunity with for us and available to us in ways that if we're open to what God wants us to do, we can do wonderful, wonderful things for God and for our family as well. Francis, anyway, I was going to go back to that piece. There's also one other one that I was interested in showing you, and it was the Italy folk. The friars in Italy did an itinerant. They moved in with a group of gypsies, and they found this old abandoned motor or house trailer and kind of put it, and then they built a little kind of shack to it, and they have a nice little chapel in it, and they go off to work, and they had a little interview with some of the young people that are working with them, and they said, you know, it was really a big change for them going into that place, because these people were like having to help them get started, because they had less than the people that were in the camp already. And they said it was a really an amazing experience of them just being able to turn to people. And then the people are kind of scratching their head, why are these guys here, you know, and all this. And the end piece is that the young people say, well, we really think that God sent them to us. Wow. So it was really a wonderful piece. I'm kind of reminded when I lived in Las Vegas before I went to Italy, there was, we were trying to have a combined community of sisters and friars living together. We had purchased this three duplexes, and the sisters would have lived in one, and we would have had one in common, and then the friars would have lived in another. And we went to the bishop about it, and the bishop, who was just going out of office, was saying, oh, no, we can't. What will people say? What scandal will you bring to the neighborhood? So one of the friars came back, and we lived in an African-American neighborhood, and they said, they're not going to be asking, you know, about scandal. They're going to say, what are these honkies doing here? And I think it's important that we just be making ourselves available and be open to that. That conversion process is what is going to, it's going to be the magnet that draws us together. When I spoke about those crumbs and bringing those crumbs together to make pieces of bread of our fraternity, those are the presence of Christ that we will form and be able to do together. Thank you.